Fanboys and Friends podcast presents.
Did I do everything myself?
Red 5 Transmissions Radio.
Just reduced Kanan's targets by half. Tell our fearless leader he should be able to handle one lone TIE fighter on his own. What was that?
In a time of darkness, when fear ruled the galaxy, heroes will rise, destinies will collide.
Who is that kid?
And a rebellion will ignite.
Get ready.
Now!
A round table discussion about Star Wars Rebels.
If all you do is fight for your own life, then your life is worth nothing.
Get back up there and fix the deal.
Wait, are you fighting stormtroopers?
What makes you say that?
You doing okay, kid?
You kidding? This is a blast!
Now, join the rebellion as it is time for Red 5 Transmissions Radio.
Alright, gang, and welcome to the latest episode of Red 5 Transmissions Radio. A very special episode, a double feature episode, if you will, where we will be discussing Empire Day. Yeah, I'm feeling very patriotic there. And discussing Gathering Forces. The final two episodes of Star Wars Rebels. No, not for the whole show. Relax. Just for 2014. I am your host, David Senden, and with me, my co-pilot in The Ghost and in Star Wars in general, Matt Clifton. Matt, welcome back.
Hola, bonjour, hello.
Apparently pulling a Truman Show, are we? Good afternoon, good evening, good night.
Just trying to go for a multilingual thing.
Oh, I see what you're doing. Anyway, Matt, let's discuss first impressions, Empire Day.
First impression. All right. Four words, really. Imperial March Parade Mix.
Oh. Yes. Oh, getting a little ahead of ourselves.
We can get to that later. But yeah. No, this great episode. Really great episode.
Absolutely.
And our first... first episode of our first big two-parter of the series.
Oh yeah, our only two-parter of the series so far.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
For all those saying, oh, they're not going to do arcs, I'm like, did you miss the to be continued?
Yeah.
I mean, it was right there.
Yep.
Any more plainly and it would have jumped out of the TV and slapped you in the face.
Mm-hmm.
But... okay, you know how, Matt, early on in the run of our shows, the very first show, I've been preaching the whole, there are these little pockets of things connected to Clone Wars.
Absolutely.
And, well, here there certainly are.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll talk about those as we go along. Mm-hmm. But first, let's touch on this. Okay, in the movies, as Luke was trained, I never really, found that funny or humorous to the point where I was laughing.
Yeah.
But with Ezra being trained, I can't help but laugh my stinking butt off.
When he was trying to make the connection to the wild toque that came out.
Exactly. I mean, between the chopper throwing space milk at him a couple episodes ago and now this, it's kind of like, good lord, this kid's training is hilarious.
Yeah, big time.
I wonder what Yoda would make of all this.
Well, that's another thing too, David. When the Jedi training and all that, there's a lot to it, right?
Yeah.
But when we saw Luke training in Dagobah and all that, it was mostly just him trying to lift and balance, and, you know, like when he went into the tree to face his fears and all that. Mm-hmm. But here in Rebels, we're seeing more of a more diverse and a more into Jedi training in this one. When it's something as simple as Kanan telling him that you need to tame this wild animal. Well, it's him trying to open himself up, open to the Force, and yep. not only the Force, but the living Force. And by doing that, you will make a connection to this animal.
Well, I thought that
was awesome.
I think Kanan's sort of taking cues from, Qui-Gon Jinn, the original Jedi hipster.
Yeah.
I mean, they both got ponytails. Come on.
Qui-Gon never had a ponytail, did he?
Well,
just want long hair.
He had the long hair, the back thing and whatnot. Wait a minute. No, I don't know. Generally they're both hipsters.
Yeah, true. Come on. Well, the hipsters... I go more like laid back, like a dude, like a Big Lebowski kind of thing.
You know what? Kanan's hardly a Big Lebowski.
No argument there.
That title belongs to Qui-Gon Jinn.
Oh, yeah.
As a matter of fact, I will just say as an aside to this new era of Star Wars, because Lucasfilm, I know you're listening to this, I want to see Qui-Gon Jinn be the Star Wars equivalent of the dude.
Oh man, he basically is.
I'm talking about his own spinoff film. Oh, Qui-Gon Jinn the dude with the skills of Brian Mills in the Taken series.
Oh Lord, that's one heck of a mashup there.
Yeah, a Padawan's taken and Qui-Gon has a particular set of skills to get him back.
It's like,
come on, do it.
Oh gosh.
Do it now.
Yeah.
Do it now. Yeah. Now. Get to the job.
Okay. Oh, boy.
But no. Okay, we get this little remote bar. Now, granted, not a Mos Eisley type or anything.
No.
But, and Ezra see the Imperial TIE fighters
mm-hmm.
going to this bar establishment.
Mm-hmm.
And here's where I'm talking Clone Wars connections.
Absolutely.
If you look at the front of the bar,
yeah.
What's protruding out?
That the part of the right at the sign of the bar outside of it is the clone trooper bomber, the Salacious bomber.
Exactly, and inside the bar, a clone trooper helmet on the counter.
You know what this reminded me of? This reminded me of, like way back at some of those, those bars that were over by maybe an airport or something like that that had like World War II memorabilia all inside.
I hope they don't charge us or bars in there.
But you know what? I was really saddened it was great to see it there, but I was also saddened to see the Salacious Bomber, this war horse that has seen so much action and so much history and been through some of the biggest battles out there and all that, reduced to nothing more than a sign outside of some bar.
Now, I got a question for you, though. Was that a design from Filoni's Clone Wars, or was that going even further back to Gendy's Clone Wars?
You know, no. This wasn't Gendy's Clone Wars. This was definitely Filoni's Clone Wars.
I see.
The Salacious Bomber was, if I'm not mistaken, was in the movie, and I think was part of the bombardment on Geonosis.
Well, I only ask because you never know. I mean, we got a big nod in Filoni's Clone Wars to Gendy's Clone Wars being in the form of, Kit Fisto making every Jedi jealous with the shirtless look.
And the smile, but absolutely.
And his 7-Up smile.
Yes.
Crisp and clean with no caffeine.
Yeah. But after seeing all this Clone Wars memorabilia outside and inside the bar, it makes me wonder if the owner himself wasn't a veteran. Maybe a clone, I don't know.
Well, I mean, let's talk about, you know, that that bartender we see.
Oh, yes, yes, the Hammerhead, the Athorian.
The Athorian Hammerhead.
Yes.
Voiced, I believe, by our old Clone Wars veteran, D. Bradley Baker.
No kidding. That's awesome.
This episode does, or these two episodes, I should say, for myself, welcomes back D. Bradley Baker to Star Wars. Now, obviously doing voice work and not doing voice work and soundboard work at the same time.
Oh, we're going to get some deep creatures soon. I know it.
Oh, I know, I know. Most likely season two, my friend.
Yeah, probably.
Two or three or four or five or six or seven or eight or nine. Because let's be honest, Disney ain't going anywhere, so let's get 10.
Nah, absolutely. But I loved the translator, too, that the Athorian had. I loved that.
Yeah, well, didn't we see that before, like when Anakin was choking the Athorian?
Back in Clone Wars?
I think that was in that Slaver's arc, wasn't it?
You know, I don't remember that one too well. I'll have to give that one another look.
Yeah, well, I know it's in there. I just can't remember as of right now. No, my memory isn't fading, kiddies. But I can't remember as of right now what arc that's in. My mind's so focused on Rebels, says like, eh.
True.
Past history? Really? Come on.
Yeah.
That's all Legends now anyway.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. Not that kind of Legends.
Yeah,
it still counts, so no, it's not that kind of Legends.
Yeah, I thought it was the first time seeing it, but I could be wrong.
Oh, yeah, I thought so, too. But the Imperials forced the Ithorian to banda stuff on the TV.
Imperial Channel, all time.
On the Imperial Channel, it's the law.
All days, all time.
And what do we get on that Imperial Channel but a Rebels animated take on, I'm not going to say it, I'm
going to say Palpatine.
I'm not going to say it, I'm just going to say Palpatine, okay?
Sorry.
Yeah, yes. I'm not going to say it. And I'll say we get an animated Rebels take on Palpatine. And yes, just to acknowledge Matt's psychological ego, he is looking a little cheesy.
Yes, he is.
See, I do that for you.
Nah, I know. It was a little bit of a look. Not too good, but it was. He was there.
Yeah, it was the Clone Wars era take on him too, which I found interesting.
Yeah, that's a really good point. This wasn't when they showed Palpatine, and he's flanked by his red guards. It wasn't after the attack, Palpatine.
Yeah, it was actually before the attack, wasn't it? Before the whole Mace Windu went out of window.
Yes, it was pre-wax candle Palpatine.
Yes, pre-wax. I love how you say that. Pre-wax candle.
Thank you.
So that right there, see, gang, that's proving my point more and more. This series is so connected to Clone Wars. If you're still denying it at this point, clearly you're nuts.
But yeah, and the channel is interrupted by the minister,
Gal Travis,
aka
Data.
Yes, yes, and so that was. That was awesome to see him come back. So he's definitely going to... He's a key player in the series.
Yeah. Oh, can I just say something as an aside? I think the fact that we have Brent Spiner voicing a character in Star Wars is once again something that's making William Shatner's head explode.
Ah. Well, shoot. I mean, this isn't the first time, and we got George Takei. So,
oh, my. You know, yes. George Takei.
Oh, yeah.
You know what? Second half of Rebels, I'm going to be champion to get Takei back in. I'm like, oh, my. Yes. Put me in. Please don't make me fat.
Yeah. Yeah, so it was definitely cool to see that character come back, even if it was just like interrupting the broadcast.
Oh yeah, I'd definitely
really like that.
He is going to be a recurring thread through this.
Yes,
you know, he and this whole mystery of who is Fulcrum.
Yes. Oh, we'll get to that later.
Yeah, we'll get to that later. But it's kind of like, I think, I will say this, we'll get to it, but I think, you know, when, you know, they do what they do, then deliver who they deliver to Fulcrum and Fulcrum's people, I think they telegraphed who was Fulcrum.
Really?
Yeah, so I think our mystery is maybe closing.
Okay. All right. We'll get to we'll talk about that later when we get to.
Oh yeah, we'll talk about that later. No worries. All right. No worries. Now you were talking about probably the best thing ever, and you started that show. Started the show off.
Yes. Yes.
The Imperial March Parade mix. By the way, can we please get that as a ringtone?
Oh my lord, that's just, that is Kevin Kiner's coup de grace right there. That is his piece de resistance. That was awesome.
That's his icing on the cake.
Oh man, I was like, how can we, it was perfect. Absolutely perfect. And yeah. I was just like, how is it that we've never heard this before? It's just, it's so natural. It's great.
Oh yeah, definitely. And you know, I will just say, and pushing on that a bit, I will just add that, you know, when the day comes that we do, well, when the day comes when he does transform into the Force, I think Kevin Kiner has earned the right, at least to me, to be elevated to film composing for Star Wars.
Ooh, yeah, he would. A spinoff.
A spinoff.
Spinoff, right?
Movie, absolutely. A spinoff, and then Michael Giacchino can do the saga ones. I mean, he is cutting his teeth with Jurassic World, and you know, and John Williams did make Jurassic Park famous. So two and two together, and there you go.
There you go. So at the Imperial Parade, they are celebrating not only Empire Day, but the production, their TIE production, and the spiffy, shiny new TIE Advanced model, that prototype that just came off of the conveyor belt, it looks like.
Oh yeah, the assembly line.
Yes.
The fresh TIE fighter.
Yeah, maybe that's a reason. You know, it was an interesting point that I think we discussed before. Why Lothal? Why this planet? What's so important about this planet? And I think one of the reasons is that maybe it's also a big, big production line for Imperial TIE fighters and walkers and what have you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. We should mention and talk about what's bugging Ezra.
Ah, yes.
What's bugging Ezra is Empire Day. Well, and this is the first time we hear it in Star Wars. And you know what? If Legends can unfortunately make calf canon, then Ezra can do this. But this is the first time we heard birthday.
Okay.
It's okay. Ezra's birthday on Empire Day.
Yes.
And so we should mention the Imperials are looking for a runaway Rodian.
Yes.
That Ezra recognized. Zeebo. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And so what happens is when Ezra needs some time to himself to contemplate, and we go back to Ezra's house, and he's just tinkering in his little hovel, which, I gotta say, his accommodation's 10 times better than Anakin's. To be honest.
Yeah.
He has a lot more toys. But what does he hear? The sounds of his parents.
Mm-hmm.
again, the his dad voiced by Dee Bradley Baker. And that's pretty cool. So Ezra then realizes, you know, probably through forced intuition or whatnot, that he knows where Debo is. And so, okay, going back to when the rebels show up to Crash Empire Day, thus Sabine proving that she's very useful for 4th of July parties.
I love them fireworks.
Oh, yeah, love them fireworks.
It's fireworks, Sabine, fireworks!
It's a lot like her hair. Yeah, her hair is just a really sharp firework. She's a firecracker, that one.
Well, I loved it when she hands Zeb the grenade. Do I throw it now? And it's beep, 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 beep. Now!
Oh, yeah. That was funny. That was funny. But, and Kanan's all distracting them with patriotism. Like, woo, Empire Day!
Sorry, my dad's been drinking.
Yeah. Sorry, my dad's been drinking. Ezra comes to the rescue of his master / friend / I kind of get the vibe that Ezra and Kanan are a lot like the two on the sitcom Perfect Strangers. You remember that?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
They're just thrown together by happenstance.
Yeah.
So, that's kind of the vibe I get from Ezra and Kanan. I'm not sure how healthy that is. But, oh well. So, we go to Ezra's old home. And, of course, you know, when Sabine recognizes it as where Ezra lived, Ezra snaps back at her, "I grew up on the streets."
This was an interesting moment as far as Ezra and Sabine go, because when you see her talking to him, it really looks like she can relate with him, you know? And
yeah, that's definitely.
Of him being like an orphan or being alone at such a young age. And it was the first time we got to see Sabine and Ezra really talk and really connect without any him
without
flirting,
any
without any flirting or anything like that. It was a real character moment between the two, and I really appreciated that.
Yeah, and unlike Anakin and Padme, this one isn't creepy or doesn't scream jailbait. Come on, he was 9. She was 14. That just screamed perv. I know he was on the desert and the only woman he saw was his mother, but Jesus.
Are you an angel?
Let's not go over that, would you?
I'm sorry, I apologize. I'm sorry.
It's like, JJ, please don't give us dialogue like that. I mean, Kyle Newman will probably go to sleep if he hears dialogue like that.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, well. No, I'm sure Force Awakens is going to be 10 times better.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, you have Lawrence Kasdan on board for Pete's sake. Anyway, back to Rebels. We discovered Zeebo. And first of all, what do you make of the Rodian design with Rebels?
Not much. Do you find a difference? I don't really find a difference as far as the Rodians go.
To tell you the truth, I haven't found any difference with this entire show.
Yeah. Maybe the eyes. That was it. The eyes. Just the eyes.
What, they blink?
In Clone Wars, the Rodians' eyes, they're very, for lack of a better word, sparkly. Lots of... If you look at the eyes in, like, in Season 1... The Rodian senator, he's got like, it's almost like stars in
his
eyes.
Yes, that I never really enjoyed, that the Rodian's eyes look like orbs.
Yes, exactly. Thank you.
It was
you.
A little too Men in Black for me.
Well, it's significantly toned down in Rebels, and I dig it. That's the only thing that I notice.
I love the fact that they didn't have Debo speak like they had Greedo.
Yes. Well, it was cool to hear him going through, I guess it was Huddy's or whatever, through English and then Huddy's or whatever the language was.
Well, you could still understand him because he had that that DJ Lobot look.
Yes, he had the Lobot, his cyborg implant on.
And again, very dark themes. The Empire resulting into all sorts of torture on the ones they capture.
Yeah, true.
Case in point, what we saw with Zemo. Again, things proving this is far from a kid's show, people.
Absolutely, but Zebo got the implant on him through his own will. He volunteered for it.
Well, but still.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Still,
yeah.
When we find out what is on that implant, all the 5-year plans for the Empire.
Yes.
And honestly, I gotta say, this felt like a little moment connecting to the original trilogy.
Absolutely.
You had two moments, one connecting backward, one connecting forward.
Mm-hmm.
And when Sabine was tapping into Zebo's sort of head thing, that was the moment moving forward. Because you saw the Imperial shuttle, saw... Well, let's be frank, for lack of a better word, you saw the ass of an AT-AT walker?
Yes, you did see the AT-AT on that one, and the shuttle and all that. So basically, the entire future database of the Rebel Alliance is in this blasted headset.
Right.
Yeah.
it's like the Imperial's greatest hits. No wonder they're looking for Zebo.
Yeah. Not very good security getting the entire day, all the prototype plans on a blasted headset like that. And
well, you know what? If Leia obtains the Death Star plans so easily, the Death Star security sucks.
Very true.
I mean, I'm sorry. You know, if I were Agent Kallus, I'd be really worried for my first review.
True. Not very true. His peer review is going to suck.
Yeah, his first review may suck, but his sideburns are intact.
Very true. There's bonus points for those burns.
Now, what did you make of the use of Kallus? Because we did see Kallus and the Inquisitor again.
That was cool. Kallus and the... Basically, just helping the Inquisitor out. That was cool. I dug that.
Yeah, I will say I was rather surprised. I didn't think we'd see the Inquisitor this quickly.
Again. True. But you know, the Inquisitor is high authority. Goes over the ISB and all that. So it was cool. Kallus basically treating the Inquisitor as a higher up. So
well,
cool.
I understand that, but where my concern lies is in mm-hmm. something Pablo Hidalgo said really early on, is the Inquisitor shows up and he's a real problem for our heroes. Now,
yes.
What I bring to your attention is this: if we get too much of the Inquisitor. Does that turn him from the unique villain they're using him as to, well, basically what Grievous was in the Clone Wars?
I wouldn't say so. The Inquisitor doesn't come off when he shows up and all that. I don't feel him overused. He keeps on showing up because he's relentless.
Ah, all right,
and that's why I take from that. I mean, I can see where what you mean by that, but for me, he's relentless, and that's why.
Well, we'll get to that in the second half. Brilliant okay. use of the Inquisitor in the second
yeah.
half.
Oh yeah.
Oh, okay. So to end this episode,
mm-hmm.
we get first of all, them trying to escape. We get the gang hijacks an Imperial troop transport. Again, I popped so hard when the Imperial troop transport showed up.
And we're getting one!
Are we? Because we don't even have action figures on the damn shelf.
Eventually, we might get one. They teased it, so I'm going to say yeah.
Can I just say, to put this out there, if you guys do that with... I don't know what's going on, Hasbro, but if you guys do that with Episode 7 toys, the internet will run red for years with fan rage.
They need to get their act together.
They don't. You know what? Forget The Force Awakens. Hasbro needs to awaken.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Good. Very true. Very true.
Bang, zoom! To the moon, Alice! Oh, but hey, you know what? I love Hasbro. I've given, like, you know, half my yearly income to Hasbro.
There you go.
So, but it's like, guys, come on. I have money. I'm willing to spend it. Get it together, would you?
Give us toys.
I know, right?
Yeah.
But, oh well. Mm. But the escape, now... I don't know about you, but I liked so far the action in this series has not missed its stride at all.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. It's intense. It's well cut. There's music when there needs to be. There isn't music when there needs to be. It's really great.
Oh yeah, definitely. And if you'll notice toward the end, you know, when the Ghost is leaving the atmosphere.
Mm.
We got intercutting between Kallus and the Inquisitor talking. Kallus over hologram, Inquisitor actually there.
Yes.
And we got the intercutting, which is so classic George, I can't even tell you.
Yeah. Yeah. How awesome was the Inquisitor's tie helmet, too?
Oh, dude, I want that tie helmet.
That was
just
awful.
To scare the crap out of people at Celebration.
It was cool, too. You could kind of see his eyes behind the lenses, the eyepieces.
See, I think in terms of design, that's important to note. Because everything is so retro in this series. It's all back to Ralph McQuarrie.
Oh, yeah.
The lightsabers. Which, by the way, I'm going to try and get it where Red 5 talks with Joel Aaron.
Excellent. Excellent.
Maybe in some of the downtime stuff, you know.
Great.
Try to get Joel on the show. But, yeah, you know, that's neither here nor there. But,
yeah.
You know, it's something to think about.
Mm-hmm.
But the Inquisitor and the visible eyes and the eyepieces.
Mm-hmm.
That is also retro because if you remember in the original cut of the movie, you could see Vader's eyes through the helmet.
Oh, okay.
Of course, it wasn't planned that way. It was a sheer accident. Mm-hmm. The special edition, unfortunately, took out a lot of this, you know, stuff. That's kind of what I like and don't like at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
But you could see Vader's eyes through the helmet.
Wow.
And I think with the Inquisitor, that's an intentional design right there.
Mm-hmm.
I just can't wait till we get that one stormtrooper hitting his head on, like, the Inquisitor's quarters.
Bonk.
Bonk. Bonk, and all of a sudden the Inquisitor's like, was your father named Django? I read about him. He did that too.
Oh, jeez.
I'm just saying, you know, there are these little nuggets of juicy details there for a reason.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
All right, and meanwhile... We got Ezra. Sabine has gone to the turret gun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, classic Episode 4 stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Ezra's trying to take care of Zeebo, who's just babbling on like the Rodian version of Rain Man. It really felt like Ezra was Tom Cruise at that moment and Zeebo was Dustin Hoffman. To be honest with you.
Yeah.
It really felt like that at that moment. But then we find out that Zeebo knows what happened to Ezra's parents.
Yeah. Dun, dun, dun.
And of course, then we get the classic 1940s to be continued. And I think a lot of us were like Vader, no, at that moment.
But we didn't have to wait long.
No, we didn't. Yeah, thanks to On Demand, you and I really didn't have to wait long, did we?
Nah.
I really hope they do that next year with the thing, because then we can just crank out the shows, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Crank out the shows. Why do you think we've been able to stay on top of this?
It's been great. Really great. With it being so accessible through On Demand or for the people that have the app or whatever.
I'm not that much of into this whole app culture.
Yeah, me neither.
You know how Jimmy was no death for a long time? I'm no app. Yeah, it'll take some sweet convincing for me to get out of that.
Yeah.
And when I say sweet, I mean a woman in a slave lair. That's like the only thing that will do it. Okay, let's talk about the second part of this.
Okay.
Gathering forces.
Yes.
Now, here we get a less complicated plot. It's actually more simple.
Yeah.
It was kind of reminding me of Out of Darkness.
Yeah.
And we'll get to the real reason why in a minute. But they get rid of the ties, they outrun the ties, but not before the Inquisitor is able to put a tracker on the ghost.
Yep.
In a great sort of just the trajectory of the projectile reminded you of when Obi-Wan threw his tracker that ship one time, leaving that wet planet?
Yeah.
Leaving Kamino?
Yes.
So just the shot reminded you of that. So it's kind of like, ooh, I love those tiny little details.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a sweet love affair with structural design where like, oh, say it again, nice and slow. Oh, man, I just made the show really creepy. But, no, I mean, this whole series has been just a great love affair with Star Wars Oxygen.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. From the movie all the way to this episode.
Mm-hmm.
And the rebels go to a very familiar planet.
Yep.
And Ezra doesn't think Kanan's plan will work.
Yeah.
Kanan seems to be determined, like like A-Team determined.
Yeah. Real quick, David. How awesome was it when the Phantom was thrown out of hyperspace?
Oh, dude. Oh,
how awesome was
it? I was like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, no, right?
You know, I will just say this. This series has done more with hyperspace than that last series did in general.
Mm-hmm.
I think the only hyperspace thing we saw with Clone Wars was honestly when in the Malevolence trilogy, when they're outrunning the pulsar beam or the rudimentary Death Star, as it were.
Yes.
Because that weapon looked so Death Star, it was ridiculous.
Yeah.
But I think that's the only use of hyperspace we saw, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But this series has done so much more with hyperspace. But that was just nuts. I mean,
yeah, that was a cool moment. I was like, well.
Well, and also when they detached the pieces, it felt like a Star Trek moment. You know, when they would when they detach the Enterprise multiple times?
Yes, 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 yes.
I mean, not to borrow from that franchise or anything, but it just felt like that moment. You know, I expected the moment like with Data in Star Trek. You have the camera go to Zeb, and you have that oh shit moment on his face.
Yeah.
I mean, he couldn't say it because, you know, it's Disney XD after all. But, even a look on Zeb's face would have been, you know, sufficient enough.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay, so Kanan and Ezra land on this planet. Now, what's the name of the planet? Did you catch that?
The name of the planet itself, no, but the fort is called Fort Anaxis, if I'm not
fort
mistaken.
Fort Anaxis?
Yeah, Anaxes.
All right. Anyways, we go back into the pitch black setting. They mostly come out at night.
Mostly.
Yeah. Did you once wonder if Kanan was going to go all Vin Diesel on Ezra?
Well, you know what? I was kind of half expecting when they got in that you're not afraid of the dark, are you? Just half expecting that. But yes. I'm glad he did.
As I said when we reviewed Out of Darkness, I think the perfect Vin Diesel character would have been Gregor.
Gregor! Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
You know, But I guess, Gregor at this point in the timeline would have that Mark Hamill, Sons of Anarchy, big bushy beard.
Yeah. Well, even though it was so soon, it was good to see a return back to this place and a return of the Fear Nox.
It was very good to see, yeah. And we learn a bit more of what's blocking Ezra.
Yes.
His fear.
Yep.
And then, of course, you know, they set their plan in motion. They gather their forces.
Mm-hmm.
Hence the title of the episode, people.
Yep.
Pretty on the nose. To take out the Imperials.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you have the Fear Nox attacking the Stormtroopers.
That was cool.
The Inquisitor kind of wipes all of that off. You know,
yes.
The Inquisitor's got swagger.
Oh, yeah.
I will say, of all the characters, I've not been convinced of all of them yet, but the Inquisitor's got swagger, man.
Yeah, he's a badass, and he knows it.
Plus, if you also notice, design-wise, the Inquisitor looks like he could have fit into that last show with anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And let's be honest, we know, not to give spoilers away, but Matt, we know that Ezra's getting an upgrade in weaponry, but mm-hmm. I will just say, so far, the Inquisitor's lightsaber, the only cool one I've seen.
Yeah, well, agreed.
That kind of combination, Tron disc, lightsaber, and weed whacker.
It's pretty awesome.
It's more than awesome, man.
Yeah.
You know, it makes me go like Zeb, and say, does yours do that?
Yeah, it is pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, that thing was killer, dude.
Yeah.
But you know what? We'll talk about Ezra's weapon upgrade when we get to it.
Yeah.
You know, the little lightsaber slash Hoover or whatever.
Lightsaber blaster thing.
Yeah. Well, I know. We'll just get to it when we get to it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, with this, we get a lightsaber fight.
Mm-hmm.
Kanan and the Inquisitor. Round
back
two.
At it. Mm-hmm.
You know, no Luminara corpse included.
No, not this time.
Not this time around. Although, I will say, like I did say during that episode, had that been Deba Balaba, we probably would have gotten a bit more emotional depthness out of Kanan.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Just because of the John Jackson Miller book and, you know, how that set up. Or, you know, at least the early chapter of it. And, Gain, if you haven't read, you know, that book yet,
get on
it. What are you doing listening to the show?
Get on it.
Yeah, it's like, go, you know, turn it off, go read the book, and then come back and listen to this show. Heck, the show might be over by the time you finish the book. Who knows?
Yeah.
Anyways, finishing up. Kanan gets a little best.
Yeah, in this gets fight. A little beat up.
Gets a little beat up. And Ezra, first of all, we see a moment of Ezra with Kanan's lightsaber.
Yeah, that was funny. Just Inquisitor just whoop, picks it up.
Well, but that kind of makes me feel a little sad that we know the lightsaber is getting, because I'm like, honestly, if you're not making a cool one like the Inquisitor, don't do it. Yeah, I mean, I don't even know about this Episode 7 broadsword with little light nubs.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah.
You saw that one, I take it.
I think so.
The lightsaber with little light nubbins.
Jeez, where was that at?
I know. It could have solved a real problem when you know, limbs were being cut off.
Oh, boy.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, could have stopped the whole Sith War or stuff like that. Oh, wait a minute. I'm sorry. The designation of legend stopped the whole Sith War. That's right.
Yeah.
It's like, that's all legends, kiddies.
Oh, wow.
It's all legends. But no, I don't want to open up that wound. It was hard enough to have it closed.
Yeah, well. So, after Kenny gets put to the ground by the Inquisitor, and Ezra's put up with his back against the wall, he kind of accidentally taps a darker power.
Into the dark side, yeah. Calling up Mother Furnox, I guess.
Yeah, that big, ugly pig-looking thing. That was pretty cool. It was definitely kind of a moment.
It was either a Mother Furnox or a mutated Minoc.
You know, it could have been both. It was like mutated, or maybe mutated, maybe yeah. to like mirror the dark power that Ezra's tapping into.
I thought you were gonna say meerkat. I'm like, no, it's bigger than a meerkat.
No.
It's more intimidating too.
Yeah, but this was definitely an interesting development.
Oh, very much so.
You know, it's showing that Ezra's powers are definitely growing and definitely, I wouldn't say maturing, but definitely growing. And his lack of discipline and all that, he needs to be careful, or else, like Kanan tells him, you know, if your will isn't strong enough, it leaves you vulnerable to the dark side.
Right. And is this the first time we get someone reacting to they feel cold?
You know what?
After a force power use?
No, I don't think so. No. Because wasn't it in Empire Strikes Back right before?
No, I know the moment you're talking about, but Luke wasn't doing any power display at that point.
No. But didn't he say, "I feel cold," and Yoda says, "Oh, that's the dark side."
Yeah, but what I'm talking about is that kind of reaction after some big force display.
I don't think so.
I know exactly what you're talking about, but Luke wasn't doing any force display at that point.
No, I know.
He was still wet nurse in green.
I know, but just when Jedi have somehow encountered the dark side or unexpectedly tapped into it or whatnot, you know, with Luke, and I think Ahsoka said the same thing, that she feels cold or something of the sort, and Anakin told her that's the dark side of the Force.
Yeah. So, well, You know, maybe Kanan and Ezra in the second half will come across Yoda's cousin, Soda.
Yeah.
or their third sort of, missing brother, who's a real party Yoda. He's Broda.
Oh, Broda. There you go.
Little How I Met Your Mother tie-in there.
Yeah.
I'm Broda.
Oh, jeez.
Instead of being 800 years old and green, I wear suits and I'm awesome. Oh, please, Lucasfilm, LucasArts, Disney, whatever. No, Broda.
No.
Let that idea just exist in our own headcanon. Like Legends does. Okay, that's enough of me on Legends. I don't want to get people going. I don't want to hear the mad types on the keyboard.
No. But after Kanan and Ezra get away, what really interests me was the Inquisitor hanging up his lightsaber, looking up, and then saying, "My master will not be pleased."
Yes, because let's talk about that, because I feel that if ABC didn't rerun Spark of Rebellion,
mm-hmm.
and that scene wasn't there.
Yeah.
And you know the scene I'm talking about. We did a whole show on it.
Oh yeah.
But
oh, yeah.
If that scene hadn't been there, then that wouldn't make sense at all.
Yeah. Now, Do you think he's referring to Vader? Do you think his master is Vader?
Yes.
Yeah? In Spark Rebellion, you know, when he's talking to Vader, he doesn't once refer him as master. He says Lord Vader. I mean, maybe that's nothing. I don't know. Maybe it's somebody else.
Well, let's be honest. I'd be very surprised if it was somebody else.
Uh-huh.
Oh, here's a twist.
Go for it.
And I know certain people will like this. I know author Sean Williams will like this.
Yeah,
but what if the Inquisitor's master was Starkiller? I know, I can hear your hesitation gears.
I don't know. My mind just keeps on going back to the obvious choice, to Maul.
Maul?
Yeah, Maul.
I don't see Maul showing up in Rebels.
You know, I don't, I would agree with you. I would agree with you on any, but I just keep on going back, you know, maybe with Clone Wars is untimely cut off and all that, but when Palpatine said, "I have other plans for you," and we never did get to see those plans, and then maybe he kept Maul around. I don't know.
Dude, that was that comic series. Did you not miss that?
Okay, all right. I wasn't sure if that was canon or Legends or what.
Oh, even though they released it later, according to what I read, that is a canon story.
Okay, never mind then.
They just happened to have released it after the Legends designation.
All right, never mind.
But as far as I know, that is a canon story.
Okay.
And the way I do know is if you read the first issue, that prison he's in,
is
the same prison on Stygian Prime.
Yeah.
Where we found Luminara's corpse just chilling out, having a good time.
Yes.
Being all dark side version of Weekend at Bernie's.
Oh, that's awful.
Yeah. I know, right. But come on, dude. Did that episode not feel a little Weekend at Bernie's, too?
Yes, in a dark and twisted way, yes.
A very dark and twisted version of Weekend at Bernie's, but still.
Yes.
Look at it this way. They can't use Operant sissies. I'm like, that guy twists and contorts so much, I don't even know what his corpse will look like. No. There's a reason we never saw him in a starfighter. He would look absolutely silly.
There you go. But yeah, so I guess we can assume that the master is Vader. But I still don't know. Still not convinced.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if it was Vader, but I'd be very surprised if it was somebody else. And quite honestly, let's talk about this. Do we even need more than the hierarchy of, you know, Sheevs, Vader, and Inquisitor?
Absolutely not. And, you know, as much as I would, I like delving into the mystery and speculating that there might be another. We don't need another. Let's keep it rule of two.
Dude, I will tell you this though. If there is a darker character, if it's not Barriss, I will be really pissed.
I know.
I mean, I said, you know, Luminara is probably still alive and being held by an Inquisitor, and the Inquisitor is Barriss.
I know. That would be cool. Let's talk about the scene where Hera hands off Zeebo to Fulcrum.
Oh, yes. Yes. Actually, when they go to that scene, we see the ghost.
Yes.
And we see the sundered heart.
Okay.
I mean, the 10 to be 4.
Is that the same ship? Is that the 10 to be 4?
Yes, that's the 10 to be 4. And what's that telling me pretty damn clear is that Bail is Fulcrum.
I don't want it to be Bail, but all right.
Bail already showed up, man.
Yeah, I know. But the block, I'll have to go back to the episode, but the 4, the 10 to be 4, does that have a red stripe or a blue stripe?
I'd have to go back, but...
Okay, I'm pretty sure it had a red stripe, and this one has a blue stripe, so different ship.
Oh, okay, fine.
Yes!
Call it the Sundered Heart, then.
Well...
You know, just don't call me Ron if you're colored Ron.
All right, I'm gonna go back and we'll look and we'll find out, but I'm still holding hope.
I don't recognize it. I'll just say this: I don't recognize the 10 to be 4 by stripes. I'm not that much of a nerd.
Well, I was looking for details.
No. I understand what you're doing, but let me tell you this: I look at the fact that those engines that are stacked on top of each other is a very distinct look. The stacked engines and the very long ship neck.
Yeah.
That's a very distinct look, man. And that's 10 to be 4. That has always been 10 to be 4. Not Tantive, not Sundered Heart, not whatever the hell they want to call it. That's been the 10 to be 4.
All right.
You know how Jason Swank was a clonist? I'm a stripist.
All right.
I don't see stripes.
Jeez.
What? Okay. I know, I'm just as bad as Swank at this.
No, it's all good.
I would probably drive Jimmy nuts over details like this.
I'm still holding hope that Fulcrum is either Leia or Ahsoka. So.
I don't, what makes you say Leia? Of all things.
Because it's Leia, and she's a key player in all of this, you know, so of course she'd be working, you know, doing missions and all that, you
true,
know?
True, how true. I will say what I want to see first, though, is that a Star Wars Rebels redo of that creepy dinner scene out of the NPR radio drama.
Oh, okay.
Where she's pulling the wool over Tyon. I want to see that.
Oh, jeez.
And it ends in the most kind of WTF dinner moment that you've ever heard in radio. You know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
But, no, overall, these two episodes, what do you think? Final thoughts, Matt. Go.
Final thoughts.
Let's see. I'm putting you on the Jimmy Mac McInerney spotlight right now.
All right. Final thoughts. Great two-parter. Our first two-parter. Imperial March Parade Mix, Return to Fort Anaxes, awesome. Ezra tapping into a little bit of the dark side, The Return of Fulcrum, and no Newt Gunnery.
Oh, yes, see, Jimmy, be man to man, don't be mad at me, come on.
So, hey, it was, so, just really good, really good. Can't wait to, how many more episodes do we have after this?
I think it's 7. And let's talk about, if we will, the 13 episodes.
All right.
I think it's a brilliant move.
Yeah, you know...
And let me explain why.
Go for it.
Because if you commit to 22, you run into, well, filler episodes like the Clone Wars spent way too much time on the
True.
First couple of seasons. Mm-hmm. Or like a certain Marvel show wasted half a damn season on.
Jeez. Well, you know, with... usually when a network buys the first season of a brand new series, it's going to be just a few episodes. It's going to be like 13. It's good, you know, a
True.
Full season is like 26 episodes. First season will be half of that.
I believe, and also with the Disney connection, considering they own ABC, I believe Castle started out with just less than that. It was like 10.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And now look at it, it does 25, 26 a year.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, and now granted, it grew up a bit more than, say, Game of Thrones, which is still in the 10, making us all really pissed every year.
Well, you know, you get an hour-long episode with no commercials, and so there you go.
True, but I'm just saying, man.
I agree.
I get into Game of Thrones so much that by the time the season's over, I'm like, WTF, man.
I know, right?
It's like, what the?
Oh, man. Give me more dragons. Give me more White Walkers.
But I think why season 2 of Rebels could be longer, could go to 22, could even go to 23 for Pete's sake.
Oh, absolutely.
I think that for they're right out of the gate, 13 was the magic number.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yes, but agreed.
Yeah. I mean, because they paid too much money to either A, screw up Rebels, or B, episode 7 for that matter.
Mm-hmm. Very true.
Besides, I think a lot of hearts wouldn't be able to recover if they screwed up both.
No way.
I'd probably binge watch Marvel. All right, well, Matt, I think that's going to do it for us.
Alrighty.
On this special 2-part episode, well, feature episode covering 2 parts. Covering Empire Day and Gathering Forces. Mm-hmm. Gang, if you're not convinced that this series is good,
just stop watching. Go.
Well,
one, we don't need you.
Well, one, you're out of your mind.
Yes.
And two, I refer you to one.
Yes.
Anyways, man, I'd like to thank you for your time this evening, as always.
Always. Always.
And I'll see you in January.
No, you bet.
All right. And remember again, till 2015, stay rebellious.
Thanks for listening to Red 5 Transmissions Radio. Star Wars and Star Wars Rebels are trademarks of Lucasfilm Limited, Lucasfilm Animation, respectively. All rights reserved.
Nice and quiet life.
Jedi Master Luminato and Julie, he's been imprisoned somewhere in the Stygian system.
We can't pass this up.
Good luck.
Come on, kid, do something. Use the Force.
Lucasfilm and Lucasfilm Animation are subsidiaries of the Walt Disney Company.
I am the Inquisitor. Or Boston.
Chopper, get us out of here! I'm off, Chopper, make friends.
Hera, you're good to go.
The odds of our mission becoming a complete debacle. Don't you trust me.
This is the Padawan I encountered on Stygian Prime.
This podcast is not sponsored or endorsed by the Walt Disney Company or its subsidiary, Lucasfilm.
Have no fear. Help is on the way.
Advance and fire!
There's a lot more at stake than you realize.
What's the worst that could happen?
Red 5 Transmissions Radio is meant for entertainment and information purposes only. All rights reserved.
Well, kid, you pulled it off.
Was there ever any doubt?
Yes.